Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. Saturday evening, January 12th, our second show of the new year. And the new year is getting off to a fast start, if I do say so myself, Keith Alexander. Last week, we had Kevin McDonald as our live guest. Tonight, it'll be Jared Taylor. So, not a shabby way to start the new year if, again, I do say so myself. As we sit to you tonight, with you tonight, from our flagship radio station in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to a listening audience that spans the globe at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, I must admit that I hesitate to hand the mic back over to my co-host, Keith Alexander. He is somewhat inconsolable after what we just witnessed in the green room during that extended top of the hour commercial break. So we go back up to the front of the studio. We're watching the end of what we thought would be the end of the Baltimore-Denver football game, waiting to come back live for the second hour. And Keith is a fan of the Mannings, as am I. Peyton Manning went to school at the University of Tennessee. Eli went to school at Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi. Keith's alma mater. Their father is a good old boy from where? Louisiana, I believe?
No, Drew, Mississippi.
Oh, from Mississippi. Okay, and I think he lives in Louisiana now. So anyway, we like the Mannings, and so we root for the Mannings. And we thought that one of the Mannings, Peyton, was about to be going on to the AFC championship game, and he still may, but he's not there yet. No such luck in regulation, at least. The game's in overtime.
Well, as I said, the black defense of the Denver Broncos would have to do their part after Peyton and the uncommonly white offense of the Denver Broncos had given them the lead. And sure enough, a black defensive back, there doesn't seem to be any other type in the NFL nowadays, as the people at Cast Football constantly point out. You know, they're always seeking to find the new black quarterback so they can make white quarterbacks go extinct, but nobody ever seems to comment on the fact that none of the defensive backs anymore are white. They're all uniformly black. Well, this black defensive back fell on his keister by misjudging the ball and allowed the receiver for the Baltimore Ravens to a 70-yard touchdown pass in with 31 seconds left to tie the game, which is now going into overtime. This is, you know, again, who's reliable, who's not, you know, just it's there for everybody to see. You'll never hear any commentary about it on ESPN, but, you know, it's quite obvious why Peyton Manning prefers having white wide receivers, because he doesn't like drop balls that go right in their hand. He doesn't like mental errors like the one made by the defensive back for the Denver Broncos.
And as long as we're talking sports, I'll harken back to a story we talked about last week. You know, the Dallas Cowboys make more news as a team than any other five franchises in the NFL combined. So you would think that when one of their players breaks an all-time NFL record for single-season receptions by a player at his position, that would make at least local news, but hardly at all. Jason Witten, the white, what is he, Keith? What position does he play? Tight end. That's what I thought. You know, breaks the all-time NFL record for a number of receptions in a year, and he did it in the 15th game of the season. And all the receptions he got in the season finale were just gravy, and that barely even made news. It's absolutely ridiculous, the double standards as it applies in sports. And that's not to say that there's not great black athletes. I mean, certainly there are, and we're not saying that there's not. But in this particular case, Keith's on the money with regards to why Denver isn't quite on their way to the AFC championship game yet.
And furthermore, why don't you hear about something like Jason Witten's record setting or record breaking season? Well, when you tune in ESPN, which seems to be the flagship sports channel or newscast in the world now, or at least in the United States, who dominates it? Chris Berman, Linda Cohn, Steve Levy, all the usual suspects. And as we have pointed out time and time again, what have we got against Jews? Well, what we have against Jews is that they are overwhelmingly liberal and therefore overwhelmingly anti-white and pro-black and pro-non-white, okay? And consequently, since ESPN is in charge of the show, that's why you didn't hear anything about Jason Witten's record-breaking season. Now, I don't know what's going on in the game now.
I hate doing this. I'm going to cringe if we ever listen to this in the archives because the game's going to be long over and everything. You know, a lot of people around the world listen to the show later in the week in the archives. That's why we only do one show a week as opposed to doing it nightly as we used to do during the early years of our program's run, is because we like to make each show an event. Well, when people listen to the archive on Wednesday, this game's going to be history, and it's going to be stale as they listen to us commentate the play-by-play here. It's becoming sports radio more than the cesspool tonight, but this game's going to be about 3 days stale, and so this whole segment will be irrelevant by the time people tune in tomorrow. But what we were talking about, Keith, that will remain relevant above and beyond the next 15 minutes is the anti-miscegenation laws in Israel again. I applaud the Israelis for doing something so natural, normal, and healthy, and I only wish that they would allow us to implement such laws here, and I say they because they who are in control of Israel's laws just so happen to be the brothers and cousins of those who are creating and crafting American policy, and of course, it's polar opposite.
Well, you know, it's incredible that they can be so hypocritical, and whenever it's brought up to them, they just shrug their shoulders about it. When it comes to any nation in the so-called diaspora, that's where the Jews were dispersed to after the temple in Israel was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70, because they concluded that the Jews, because they were so obstreperous and so bellicose and so difficult, didn't deserve to have their own nation anymore. They tried to be nice guys. They didn't put them to death, but instead they dispersed them throughout all the world. Well, in every diaspora country, in other words, every place to which they were dispersed, in which they are a minority, they are vocally for open borders. On the other hand, in their own nation, they are the polar opposite. They are for closed borders, Israel for Jews and Jews alone. They have anti-miscegenation laws. It is not only against law, it is considered rape for a Gentile of any type to have sex with a Jew, a Jewish woman. And this is, you know, and they're totally unapologetic about this double standard. And, you know, the other thing that may be more subtle that I think needs to be pointed out is that this article only comes to our attention because of Russian television. We run Russian television clips all the time on the political cesspool. How ironic that we now have to rely on the Russians to get the truth. We used to, you know, you grew up during the Cold War, the Russians were the bad guys, the Russians were the totalitarians. And we said the other day that Putin is more in line with the thinking of the founding fathers now than the heads of the U.S. governing class. And now the Russian television is where we have to go in order to get truth on issues that are politically incorrect, because the Jews are in such control of our news media in America that you cannot get the truth out of them. You have to go to other sources like Russia, ironically.
We'll be back with more American news from the political cesspool. You can get good news. You can get the truth in American media here on the political cesspool. Just one place. We'll be back right after this. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip 2 Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Here's a story as we shift gears here. Samuel L. Jackson, one of the stars of Django Unchained, which, by the way, Keith, is just tearing it up at the box office. I mean, I think it's cleared $100 million by now, and it goes to show that it's not just hate-filled minorities that are going to see it. Plenty of self-hating whites are shelling out $10, $12, $15 a ticket, depending on where you live, to go and see this trash. Well, Samuel L. Jackson was doing a promo, an interview, in Houston, Texas recently, promoting the film. And he begged the interviewer to call him the N-word. Now, again, we don't use that kind of language. We don't hate anybody. We point out inconvenient truths on the show. But I can safely say, as I say almost every program for those tuning in, the curious new listener perhaps, we don't hate anyone. We oppose Jewish power and influence because Jews are predominantly liberal, and those policies that they want hurt our families. We point out some truths about racial discrepancies because it's information we feel as though an adult in mature and civilized society should be able to handle. Well, anyway, here's the scoop. CBS Houston. Django Unchained star Samuel L. Jackson took an unexpected approach to discussing the controversial new Quentin Tarantino film when he tried to get a Houston film critic to say the N-word during an interview. Film critic Jake Hamilton, who, and we have this video up on our website, keepthepoliticalcesspool.org. This guy is the most mealy-mouthed, feminine-looking excuse for a white guy that you'll ever run into. Just a sorry excuse for a man. Film critic Jake Hamilton was asking, just completely emasculated, asking Jackson about the frequent use of the racist words, so the story reads, in the movie when the actor cut Hamilton off. It's about 14 minutes into the video if you go and look it up. No, nobody, none. What N-word are you talking about? Jackson asked. Hamilton told Jackson, again, this emasculated excuse for a white man, told Samuel Jackson that he doesn't feel comfortable saying the N-word. He's not going to say it. But Jackson tried to force him to say it anyway. Try it, Jackson pushed. We're not going to have this conversation unless you say it. Hamilton then asked Jackson to say it. No, F no. It's not the same thing. Jackson told Hamilton it wasn't a question that he was going to answer if he couldn't say the word. Despite being critically acclaimed and up for many Academy Awards, the movie, by the way, yeah, this is an Academy Award nominated film, Keith. The movie has been heavily criticized for its use of violence and the prevalent use of the N-word. I posted this a week ago when it was a week old when I posted it, and it had already earned $64 million. So now it's approaching, if not surpassed, $100 million. And of course, we remember Django himself. Jamie Foxx recently appeared on Saturday Night Live and celebrated the fact that he got to kill so many white people in the movie, and everything in his life is built around race. It's perfectly fine for him to say things like that, Keith, things we would never say. You know, we get falsely accused of being all sorts of things. We've never said how great it would be if we could go out and kill blacks. I mean, we don't want to do that. We don't. That's not how we think. We're not animals. But so many people, as I mentioned in the first hour, have taken to Twitter now. Non-whites have taken to Twitter saying, I want to be like Django. I want to go out and do it in real life. And we're going to get to that in a moment. It seems as though some of them are. Well, it's not a new manifestation, black-on-white murder, but we'll give you some of the latest examples. But anyway, your thought on Samuel L. Jackson, Keith, begging this feminine white guy to call him the N-word and just basically laughing in his face to see this emasculated man too cowardly to take him up on the challenge.
Well, the guy knows, and rightfully so, that if he does dare to utter that word, that his career in the media is over. There's a tremendous double standard here. There's a tremendous double standard, just like the one we've been watching on the football field. If a white player had fouled up as badly as that black defensive back did for the Denver Broncos and allow a 70-yard touchdown to come out of nowhere, you'd never hear of him again. This guy will continue to play in the NFL and will probably have a long and storied career and will continue to disregard all of his shortcomings. Well, likewise, with Samuel L. Jackson and any black guy, they can say the N-word with impunity. Whites apparently do not have the same rights of free speech that blacks and other non-whites have. Now, also, it's funny to look at this thing when you consider the word or the name Django, how the left continues to circle around its origins all the time. Anybody that's read Catcher in the Rye, I think it is, will hear about Django. There was a jazz musician that all the good cutting-edge leftists of the early 50s knew about named Django Reinhardt, a jazz musician, a black jazz musician at that. And, of course, because he was black, he was ergo better than any of the white jazz musicians in the eyes of the deluded left. And again, like I said, it's just, you know, I think the people are now beginning to pay attention to what we've been saying about Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino's movies, starting with Pulp Fiction going forward, all have a common theme. They model the killing of white people for non-whites. Quentin Tarantino apparently wishes fervently that he can provoke a race war. He wants black people out murdering white people. And of course, you know, almost all interracial crime, and particularly all racially motivated interracial crime, is black on white crime. But again, you won't hear about that. There was an article that you were pointing out to me earlier in the week about a deaf white guy that was going around trying to pick up his girlfriend so they could walk around the neighborhood and look at the Christmas lights, who was accosted by a carload of three blacks and murdered. Now, just imagine if the roles were reversed, if the races were reversed on this and three white thugs had attacked some poor little deaf black boy who wanted to go around and look at the Christmas lights. Believe me, it would take over the news cycle for the next month, just like the phony racial crime of of a white guy who is actually Hispanic, George Zimmerman, killing Trayvon Martin, who now it comes out George Zimmerman, the Hispanic guy, actually had a broken nose that he got at the hands of Trayvon Martin. So he was defending himself against an assault, but you don't hear about this. You don't hear about this because the left wants to perpetuate a fantasy. And the fantasy that they have includes movies like Quentin Tarantino movies in which black people rise up and kill white people. This is what the left wants. It's time for white people to wake up. I've heard it said before that when the race war breaks out, you won't have to worry about what side you're on because the other side will let you know. And Quentin Tarantino and all these white liberals are not going to be able to flash their Democratic Party membership or say that they contributed to the United Negro College Fund or that they're honorary members of the NAACP. None of that will matter. Maybe they have their own death wish, their own suicidal fantasies that they're dealing with through these movies. But on the other hand, no white person that has any instinct towards self-preservation should see one of those movies. Every time that you buy a ticket to a Quentin Tarantino movie, you are perpetuating poisonous obscenity. What is more obscene than killing people based on their race, which is what Quentin Tarantino movies are all about?
Thank you, Keith, for that outstanding commentary on a truly despicable story, and I appreciate you making mention of a story that I am going to dive into right after we come back from the break. This murder in North Carolina of the deaf man by the three teenagers, as the media called them there. We'll be back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month. Naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to CardioPrim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Bye.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Keith did a fantastic job in setting the stage for a story that I very much wanted to bring to your attention tonight. It's a story that was sent to me by our listener Terry in North Carolina. The media absolutely salivates for a racially motivated black, or excuse me, a racially motivated white on black murder. It just doesn't happen. Unfortunately for them, it doesn't happen. The closest they got was recasting the Hispanic George Zimmerman as a white man and saying that he gunned down Trayvon Martin for no other reason or no other motivation except racial hatred. Well, of course, as it is appearing to turn out, the Hispanic Zimmerman was certainly acting in self-defense when he shot Martin. But you look at the spin that that story got, and it was absolutely incredible the amount of media attention it received. That was not a national news story. It was horrible. You know, no one. I didn't want to see Trayvon Martin die. I certainly didn't want him to see him become a martyr. I disavow all forms of violence and hatred, but you see how they manipulated that story. Now, compare and contrast that, the Trayvon Martin incident, to the real-life story of a deaf white man being killed by three teenagers. And you see, they called them teenagers. They know George Zimmerman, the Hispanic Zimmerman, was white, but these people who are black are just teenagers. And here's the story out of the Charlotte Press, Charlotte, North Carolina. Three teenagers are under arrest after authorities say they stabbed a deaf man during a robbery and left him lying in the front yard of a Charlotte home festooned with Christmas decorations. Charlotte police say Michael Victor Scholl was killed Friday while walking through a neighborhood to pick up his girlfriend. The couple had planned to go look at Christmas lights. Of course, they call them holiday lights in this story. Family members say the 21-year-old Scholl was a recent graduate of the North Carolina School for the Deaf who worked at a tire shop. On Saturday and Sunday, homicide detectives arrested... I'm sorry, I can't pronounce these names. I mean, I can't pronounce teenager names, but it's three typical teenager names.
Give us the names.
Avianci, Bryant, Devontigua Turner. That's not a laughing story, but my God, what am I going to do, cry? I mean, they charged this trio of teens with murder, robbery with a dangerous weapon, and conspiracy to commit robbery. Anyway, this story is not yet on the blog, but it will be next week, and I've got the mugshots of the teenagers there. They all share a certain thing in common. And something tells me, Keith, that this murder, this teenager-on-white murder, isn't going to quite get the same amount of media attention that the Trayvon Martin ordeal did, and I wonder why. I mean, could you imagine if it had been, man, this is what they dream of, a poor, innocent, black, deaf kid being stabbed and robbed by three white hooligans, but it just doesn't happen because, thankfully, we're more civilized than that.
Well, you know, it's amazing that you bring that up because that's exactly what the race traitor John Grisham did in his first novel, A Time to Kill, which he said was based on a true story. Well, it was based on a true story, but he conveniently reversed the races that were involved in the true story so that you had white thugs raping a poor and innocent black child. That's the way he portrayed it. What actually happened was just the opposite. Three black thugs raped a white child. And so, you know, you really cannot trust these leftists as far as you can throw them. Grisham knew what he was doing. He was going to try to ring the chimes of the predominantly Jewish, which means predominantly leftist and liberal-leaning publishing moguls in New York City, you know, the next to Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, the capital of Jewry throughout the world. And I guess Hollywood is running at a close second over here, even though they're only 1.7% of the U.S. population, according to the latest census. They dominate everything. In fact, you know, I just had someone point out to me today that out of 31 NBA franchises, 26 are owned by Jews in America. So they control just about everything. You know, they 8 out of 8 major movie studios are Jewish. So now we have this news story, and of course, politically correct down to the nth degree. We're not out here talking about Christmas lights, which I'm sure most of the residents of Charlotte, North Carolina are Christians or from a Christian background, but we have to nod and genuflect to political correctness and call them holiday lights. This kid is killed, and they won't identify the perps by race, although they run pictures of them, and it's obvious who they are. It's obvious where the problems flow from. It's obvious where the violent crime comes from in America. But like the Emperor's New Clothes, none of these people, just like the guy that was interviewing Samuel L. Jackson, who I'm sure this interviewer was white, they are afraid to tell the Emperor that he has no clothes. They're afraid to point out that this violence comes from the black community and is inflicted upon the white community almost invariably. So we see this, another crazy story of mindless violence, racially animated. Where is the hate crime prosecution? Where is the U.S. Attorney's Office? They have finally, you know, the left tried 43 times in vain to pass hate crime laws, and finally, with reptilian patience, got it passed on the 44th try. And even though the language of that hate crime legislation is race neutral, you never see any prosecutions of black perps for crimes against white people. It's always in the rare, it's reserved exclusively for the rare instance when whites attack blacks or attack other non-whites. See, if it were actually used according to a race-neutral analysis, these three teenagers would be charged with a federal hate crime. But that's not how they intend things to work. They want to punish white people, and they don't want black people caught in the net.
There actually was a case, and this will be discussed in greater detail next week on the Political Cesspool, and it's an article that will appear on our website in the next couple of days. But Eric Holder has intervened in a case, I believe it was in Michigan, where four black Muslims killed a young white girl, and ordered the judge that hate crimes charges would not be a consideration. It could not be taken under consideration. In other words, Eric Holder has told a judge that he cannot consider hate crimes charges in this incident of four black Muslims killing a young white girl up in somewhere in the upper Midwest.
And see, Eric Holder is the head law enforcement figure in the federal government. He's the Attorney General of the United States, and he is racially biased and unapologetically racially biased. You know, the whole civil rights movement was sold to the American public on the grounds that it was going to end racial discrimination. And of course, Eric Holder's hate crime spin shows you that it did nothing of the sort. It basically changed racial discrimination. It used to be that white-on-black racial discrimination was sanctioned legally. Now it's non-white-on-white, and particularly black-on-white racial discrimination. It just changed the subjects of the racial discrimination. So basically, anybody who still remembers what the civil rights movement was about, if you supported it, even in the least way, you were hoodwinked. You bought the sucker's bargain, because all that the civil rights movement did was basically legitimize black-on-white racial discrimination. And that's what they intended to do. That's what Thurgood Marshall told William O. Douglas. William O. Douglas was on the Supreme Court, a typical white liberal, and when he thought that the civil rights movement was going too far and that the court was going too far in requiring busing based on race, racial discrimination, in other words, Thurgood Marshall, who had been the attorney for the NAACP in the Brown decision and who was rewarded by being placed on the U.S. Supreme Court, laughed at him. He said, "You guys have been discriminating for a long time. Now it's our turn." And Douglas was shocked, but he shouldn't be. Liberals always think that they can put the brakes on any liberal initiative and it won't go any further than they think it will. A much better analogy would be the old Arab analogy of the camel's nose in the tent. You don't let so much as a camel's nose in the tent, because if you do, the next thing you know, the camel will have moved into the tent and you'll have been moved out of it.
When we come back, more vicious, racially inspired murders. Stay
don't
tuned.
Go away, the political cesspool guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
We'll return.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com, your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Keith Alexander is AWOL right now. It appears as though it's in double overtime. It looks he's coming back with an update from the green room. What's happened? It's all over. It's all over. It looks like Baltimore has beaten Denver. Michael Orr prevails. The game we have been tracking all night. Denver's out of the playoffs. Really a big upset for the Baltimore Ravens, for all you sports fans out there.
But not an upset when you think of the fact that it was blunders by the all-black defensive backfield of the Denver Broncos that, one, allowed the game to be tied, twice. You know, you had, first of all, Torrey Smith catching a ball when Champ Bailey misplayed a long route. And then some other defensive back, number 26 for the Denver Broncos, totally misplayed a Hail Mary pass and allowed, again, this guy Torrey Smith, who is a black receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, to catch a ball to tie it. And then, you know, in two overtimes, they wind up getting in position to take a field goal, I guess. I don't know if they gave him the ball on the 35-yard line or what, but nonetheless, they got it. And again, you, like we said, Peyton Manning put them in a position to win. We're going to see if the all-black defensive team of the Broncos could hold up their end of the bargain, and as usual, they don't.
To be completely and entirely fair, I must offer the fact, and we are completely and entirely fair here in the cesspool, even if it doesn't match the script, Peyton Manning did have two interceptions to Joe Flacco's zero for the Ravens at that quarterback, so that's got to be taken into consideration, but also the fact that you mentioned, the defensive blunders that we saw late in the game contributed mightily also. We're not going to give updates on the Green Bay-San Francisco game. We're going to leave our sports casting, let it rest for a moment, and getting back to the bigger and certainly much more serious topics at hand. We were talking in that last segment about the deaf white kid who was murdered by three teenagers in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hard to even talk about stories like this because you're talking about life and death, and that's how serious it is. It's hard to even just, you know, provide commentary on it in a segment and then move on with the rest of the show as if that was just one thing or another, and then we go home tonight. Well, that guy can never go back home to his family, and neither can Chris Newsom and Channing Christian, the couple in Knoxville. It's been 6 years now. A memorial service, a remembrance memorial, was held for Chris Newsom in Knoxville just this week, marking the 6-year anniversary of his death, along with that of his girlfriend, Channing Christian. The story reads out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, 6 years on, Hugh and Mary Newsom have yet to find justice for their son as they faced yet another anniversary of his death on Sunday. Loved ones and strangers alike gathered around the couple to help bring them perhaps a moment's peace. And this memorial service was held at the grave of Chris Newsom. Of course, people will remember this story, and I remember it well for a very big reason. Christopher Newsom and his girlfriend Shannon Christian, both in their early 20s, were kidnapped while out on a date, then tortured, raped, and killed. And you know, the media has gotten onto me for, they pulled a quote out of context for me when I said that, I didn't say it, that blacks were subhumans. I said that the people who committed this crime were subhuman. And they took that so far out of context as to say that I said all blacks are subhuman. Well, I stand by what I did say, and that is that the blacks, that, what kind of animal? They're not just subhuman. The people that were involved in this case, they're animals. They're worse than animals. What kind of animal rapes another man, okay, and tortures them and strangles them and sets them on fire and burns them alive? Now, that's what these teenagers did to this young white couple. And if that's not a hate crime, then I don't know what is. But I had the opportunity to go on CNN and talk about this very case. No other white man in the country had the balls to go on television and tell the truth, so they found one who did, and it just so happened to be me. And they heard about me from hosting this show, which, of course, has become very well known, thanks to you folks. And I went on there and I told the truth, and I was debating an NAACP spokesperson. And it was my pleasure, indeed an honor, to go on there and serve as the voice of reason in defense of these white kids. And we're going to replay that clip on the website on Monday. I encourage you to check it out. Hundreds of thousands of people saw my appearance there live on CNN that night. 120,000 alone have seen it on YouTube since we've been featuring it on our website, but it'll give you more information regarding the Channing Christian Chris Newsom story. And then I come on, and anyway, you can catch that on Monday at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But again, Keith, life imitating art. Now, I know this particular incident happened before the release of Django Unchained, but, you know, they make up stuff. The media will say, well, and Jared Taylor's coming up as our guest in a few minutes, and the media will say, well, that shooter in Arizona visited the Ameren website one time in his life, and that's why he shot Gabrielle Giffords. Well, it turned out that he didn't visit the Ameren site ever. And even if he did, how can you say that that influenced his crime, but you don't ever mention in a black-on-white murder that something like Django that glorifies black-on-white murder could have possibly contributed to that behavior, as we saw again in North Carolina recently with the deaf kid being killed?
Well, again, don't confuse the leftist media with the facts. I remember back when Lee Harvey Oswald assassinated John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the president, on November the 22nd, 1963. And I remember as a child watching the news reports and watching the breathless commentary from the various talking heads of the national news media who were absolutely convinced that the assassin had to be some knuckle-dragging troglodyte Klansman from the South who was murdering the President of the United States because of his liberal activism, particularly in civil rights. Well, it turned out to be nothing of the case, nothing of the sort. What actually happened was you had a hard leftist, a guy who was a member of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, a devotee of Fidel Castro, who had renounced his U.S. citizenship and defected to the Soviet Union before the Soviet Union got a load of what a loser he was and kicked him out. Then he came back to the United States. He was the assassin. Now, did the mainstream media ever apologize for slandering the people who were opposed to the civil rights movement and to the South generally? Not on your life were they going to do anything like that. Instead, they said, this just shows you that all white people are dangerous and violent, and that America is dangerous and violent. And then they move seamlessly, just like they're doing now, into asking for restrictions on our right to keep and bear arms, just like they're doing now as a result of the Sandy Hook Newtown shootings. The left, apparently long before Rahm Emanuel said it, has been of the opinion that you never let a good catastrophe or a good disaster go to waste. You've got to use everything, spin it so that it serves the ends of the left. And that's what they did in the JFK assassination. That's what they're doing with every news story that comes down the wire. They will not tell you the truth. If you want the truth from the media, access the Russian media. Access Russia Today channel. That's where you find the truth, the politically incorrect and unvarnished truth on racial issues in particular.
Well, Keith, we're coming up to the last minute or two of this, our second hour, but the third hour is still forthcoming. Jared Taylor will be our featured guest. We'll be promoting and giving you all the details about the forthcoming American Renaissance Conference, which will be held April 5th through the 7th near Nashville, Tennessee. Keith, a final word for the audience. I know you're not going to be sticking around for the third hour of the night. Parting shot from you, my friend, until next Saturday.
Well, the hypocrisy of the Jewish community and the absolute, misinformation provided by the American news media have been featured in tonight's show so far. And again, you know, it's not a matter of finding enough articles to fill a program that demonstrate these truths. The problem we have is winnowing through mountains of such stories every week in order to focus on just a few of the most egregious examples. And even then, I'm not sure that we get it right. The misinformation, the disinformation campaign that's being waged against the American people is incredible. And, you know, the reason why the American media is now less reliable than the Russian media is that the Marxists now reside in America. True classical Marxism died in Russia, but cultural Marxism is alive and well and growing and prospering in the United States and Western Europe.
All right, folks, we'll be back with the third and final right after this. Don't go anywhere.
They call the rising sun.